How do millionaires actually become millionaires and then keep all of their wealth, but not only that, continue growing it so they get a life of financial freedom? In this video, I want to look at a couple of trends as to what the smart people, the really rich people are doing and how we can implement that in our own lives. If you're interested, then definitely keep watching. Hey guys, my name is Ravi and welcome back to Personal Finance with Ravi Sharma. If you're new here, smash that subscribe button because I talk about real estate, cryptocurrency, and financial freedom. Now, if I sound a bit nasally, it's because I've been hit by the flu for the first time in over a year, and I have no idea what to do about it. So apart from sleeping, drinking a lot of water, and having a lot of vitamin C, if you have any ideas as to how I can beat this cold a lot quicker, then let me know in the comments down below. Now, this channel is about personal finance, and personal finances are super important because what we want to do is take care of what will become our biggest stress in life, which is financial stress. And although no one wants to admit it, money does not buy you happiness, but it does buy you choice. And so instead of just telling you what I'm doing and how I'm planning my retirement and building my financial wealth, I want to focus on what most millionaires around the world are actually doing and how some of those things are very much applicable to what we can do today. Now, the issue that we have in society right now is that we compare our day one to someone's day 100. Let's take you and I, for example. I've been investing into real estate for almost 11 years, but if you just found the channel and you go, oh, well, I want to build a multi-million dollar portfolio like Ravi has, oh, but I can't because he's already so far ahead. How am I going to start? It's just too difficult. And you often lose the motivation to even start. Now, believe it or not, when I started 11 years ago, I also had similar people around me, which when I was looking at them, I was saying, oh my God, like there's no way I could ever get to that point. And so we always underestimate what we can achieve in a longer term, and we can drastically overestimate what we can achieve in a smaller term. Take, for example, you going out there and building your physique. You say, look, I want to go into a position where I've got 15% body fat, and you start at 30%. And you go, okay, well, I want to get to this point within 6 months. What I'm going to do is X, Y, and Z, and most people won't achieve it in 6 months. But if you stick to that and you consistently do it, you probably get there in like 12 to 18 months. But because we fail on the short term, because we think that we can achieve so much more, you end up not sticking to it consistently and you never get to 15%. And that's the same way it works with real estate or investing in general. Once you go out there and you have a couple of wins, you think it should be a lot faster and often lose the motivation to keep going. Or even worse, you go and make a couple of mistakes, you have the opportunity cost of having done so well, but you didn't, and often you can leave that industry altogether. And that makes a lot of sense when you purchase the wrong real estate investment and then you are stuck with something that's a dud property, and unfortunately, you get so burnt by it because you probably had a really bad tenant story or a developer sold you something that they told you was in a growth corridor and now it's not even growing. So you go, property's not for me, let me look for something else. Now let's look at this study that was conducted in 2024 and what it says about millionaires and how we can learn from this to actually implement in our lives. At the end of this video, I'm gonna bring it all back together and place it into an Australian context of what we can actually do. Most of today's millionaires weren't born into their wealth, research shows. A study published by WealthX found that 68% of those with a net worth of 30 million or more made it themselves. Further, a second study by Fidelity Investments found that 88% of all millionaires are self-made, meaning they did not inherit that wealth. And there's such a big misconception. Obviously, you go and see people and you're like, oh, they're so rich, it's probably because of their parents. But in this study, we're finding that most millionaires don't actually get it from their parents. And I'll tell you why. It's because even if they did receive it from their parents, and I'm generalizing here, but a large portion of people that get given that money or inherit large portions of money actually lose it because they don't have the right mindset, they don't have the right habits, and they often will go and do dumb shit that's not gonna actually equate to growing that wealth. So the self-made millionaires are people that can go through that tough period, build their skills up, maybe grow a business or invest as well. And we're gonna go into that in a little bit. For self-made millionaires, coming into wealth isn't a simple process. Many of them worked hard to achieve financial success and then used their smarts and savviness to put their new wealth in the right places. What do some of these self-made millionaires have in common and what lessons can you learn for your own investment strategy? The Fidelity study showed that when considering their financial future, 30% of millionaires surveyed said they were concerned with preserving their wealth, while 20% said they were focused on growing their fortune. This forms the basis of some basic strategies if you're hoping to join the millionaire ranks. Today's millionaires are multidimensional, and to really understand them, you need to look not only at their outlook, but also at their path to wealth and their financial goals for the future. So here are a couple of suggestions that the millionaires are making around how you can build your wealth today. Number one is investing in different places and avenues. So you can go out there and say, okay, I only know property, I'm gonna go down that path and that's all I'll ever invest in. Now, the issue with that, despite my pure love for property, is that at some point the banks may say no to you. You may not have been in the market enough for the equity to have grown in that property, and the barriers to entry when buying a property are really high. So if you can get in, you definitely want to get in because there's not many that can get in, especially when interest rates are this high. And then what you're able to do is compound that growth over time and you get the capital gain appreciation. Now, when you can't do the property, then you go, well, I can only invest in property. I'm not going to look at anything else. And that is where the issues are created because you only think you have one tool or one vehicle to get you to financial freedom. So what I always say is pick 2 to 3 different asset classes that you can focus on. Not because you should focus on all three. It's just that you're going to have your main pillar. And so for me, if I'm using this in context, my main pillar is property. But when I'm not in property, I can focus on a couple of other things. Now, outside of my business, which I operate, I can also focus on other investment classes like cryptocurrency and an alternative investment being collectibles. Now, how much of those couple of things form a big part of my net worth? Not much. It's really primarily the property side. And if property's not working for me, in my case, I'm going back into the business and the business then brings money back into the property. So they sort of work hand in hand together. The crypto as well as the collectibles are a smaller part of my wealth. But if you don't have a business, then what you're looking at doing is saying, okay, I can't invest in property right now. Can I get into ETFs? Can I get into shares? Can I go and invest in something else? And that is how you need to approach this, is you can't just go and say, I've only got one vehicle that's gonna get me to financial freedom and I'm only focusing on that one thing. I see so many people, I speak to so many people as well that are in that mindset. They say, well, look, Ravi, I can't buy property for another 2 years. And so that means I'm just gonna save my money. Well, if I'm saving my money, is there a purpose for it? Do I have an emergency fund already? Do I need extra funds to just sit there? Or can I use that money somewhere else that's gonna generate me a better return? The next lesson is having multiple streams of income. You've probably seen YouTube scattered with these videos, which is like, hey, these are my incomes and these are my income streams and I've got like 25 income streams. And I've even made videos on this channel about what my income streams are. But what I've found over time is it's not just about diversifying those income streams. It's to say, okay, it's to actually be conservative and say what out of these income streams are bringing me the most income and then really doubling down that focus. That's been a really big lesson for me as part of my journey when I've gone, okay, I need to diversify, I need to be everywhere. And over the last 3 to 5 years, I've really started getting that scope of focus really in check. And that has allowed me to actually go and double and triple my net worth in a small amount of time. Now, having multiple streams of income is very important because it means you're not solely relying on one income source to get you to the end goal. Again, going back to the first point, which is you don't just need one vehicle to get you to financial freedom. When one vehicle's not working, you can go to the other vehicle. And when that's not working, you go to the other one. And by the time the other two aren't working, you're back onto your main pillar vehicle anyway. Similar thing with your income. Let's say you're earning an income right now from your full-time paying job. If you lose that job right now, it's going to cause a bit of stress. The first thing you're thinking about is, do I lose the house? And just that thought there should be enough motivation for you to not only just smash that like button now, but also go out there and start building a set of skills that's going to allow you to either go and, you know, create a side hustle, create a business that you can ultimately do full-time, or even better than that is to go and double down at your job right now to then say, okay, I need to become so important to this company that they can't get rid of me. I'm not just a number, I'm an actual person here. And if I'm not in an organization that thinks that way, then I shouldn't be here at all. Now, speaking of jobs, if you're in real estate right now or have experience in real estate and you want to join a company that's 1, is fast growing, 2, it's really fun to be around, and 3, are based in Sydney, then definitely hit the link in the description below and go to our careers page on our website. We are looking for multiple roles at Search Property because we're enjoying our brand new office and everyone's having a good time. And because we're having a good time and we've got a happy mindset, a happy workplace, it means that we're getting really good results for our clients who are also happy and in turn referring more clients, which means the whole thing is a positive flywheel and we can continue growing, but still delivering the very highest level of success for our clients and service as well. So if you're interested in joining a company that's quite young, vibrant, and wants to make stuff happen, then definitely hit that link in the description below. Now, apart from your active income, there's also passive income. Now, passive income is probably what's gonna get you to financial freedom, but the active income is gonna allow you to stay in the game for longer. Now, I use this often when I'm talking about property. When I say capital gain is the goal, the rental income is what keeps you in the game, the capital growth gets you out of the game. Now, that may make no sense at all, but let me just cover that off. So, if you're going out there and saying, well, my borrowing capacity limits me and to how many properties I can buy, what I want to focus on is a property that gives me both capital growth and cash flow. The cash flow allows the bank to be happy and it allows me to be able to hold more properties. So you go, okay, one property is only going to cost me 200 bucks a week. That means I could probably hold five of these. Instead, if you go for something that's just purely capital growth and you say, okay, well, I don't care about the cash flow, what happens if that one property is costing you 1500 a week? Now, it means that if something goes wrong with the tenant that's living in there, you're gonna lose the house and that's your one investment property that you have. In this case, in year one, you might be in a position where you're negative 1,000 across five properties, but then year two comes around and you're probably $500 out of pocket because all of the rental growth that comes with it. Now, over time, those properties will have either the debts reduced or the rents will increase, and that's gonna allow you to earn a passive income from that portfolio. So you might have three properties, you might have 10 properties. I've shown in a video detailing how you only need two properties to become filthy rich in Australia. Definitely go check out this video after you watch this one. So real estate's a really good way to earn that passive income. And, you know, obviously it comes with the capital gains, which is, you know, which has no tax associated with it, but the rental income does. So apart from property, what else do I have? Well, you've got things like ETFs and shares where they pay you a dividend, and that is passive income. Now, it's gonna be substantially less than what the property looks like because there's leverage gains, but at the same time, you can use some sort of leverage when it comes to ETFs and buying shares. But again, I don't advocate for any of that stuff. I don't actually own any ETFs and shares because I think there are other vehicles that can get me to my goal a lot faster. Now, it's quite easy for me to say, well, okay, I'm not a financial advisor. You should probably go speak to a financial advisor. My thing is that you should probably go and get yourself educated around how these things work, how these tools work, and what's right for you. Because someone else can go and tell you, well, look, yes, you should invest 20% into property. You should invest 80% into mutual funds or whatever else. And you might not actually like those things. So for me, I was invested into shares, you know, pre-2020. And then I thought, I don't really like this. I tried my hand at it. I'd rather go back into property and focus on my business. And that is where the choice comes in from your end. If you like something, chances are you're gonna go out of your way to learn about it and engage yourself in that content. So obviously you're listening to this, there might be a chance that you really like property. So that naturally means that property should be your pillar and then everything else sort of sits on the side with it. Another lesson is reducing your expenses or living within your means. A couple of years ago when I thought about this and you know we were sitting at home, lockdowns everywhere, and I was thinking, oh, you know, it's so interesting to now really observe and just people watch. You saw people's Instagram stories and things like that. And after a while, it just sort of changed where people were going out there and saying, okay, I've got this new car and I've got this and I've got this. But when you actually met them in person, they actually seemed really depressed. If whatever's going on in here isn't happy, then chances are whatever you buy or do outside of that is also going to be really negative. The big lesson here is focus on yourself and your mindset rather than trying to impress someone across the street. Because chances are they've got their own insecurities. They really have no bearing on what you think and how you should be thinking for the rest of the day. In my case, I've been told many times, especially on social media, some people just love having a rant and giving out negative comments, especially as keyboard warriors. What's up, haters? But for those people, they are so negative in their own lives, they are now trying to spread it because misery loves company. So when you're in that environment, you sort of want to get away from that environment and focus on the positivity. And that positivity in your own mind is you being authentic and true to yourself. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing, live in your own lane. There are so many people out there online sharing their stories, and these creators or people out there sharing their stories have so much more money than I do. But I'm so happy with where I'm at. I'm happy growing the company. I'm happy with the people around me, and that's all that I can ask for. Now, the final lesson that was shared amongst these millionaires was to focus on growing wealth. A lot of people out there have that negative or conservative mindset, which is around how do I save more money? But the millionaires or the real wealthy people are focusing on how do I make more money? So if something you can do generates you an extra dollar of income, where the conservative mindset kicks in is why am I working for the extra dollar when I'm going to get taxed 45 cents? Instead, the millionaire's thinking, well, if I can make a dollar, I still keep 55 cents. that I didn't have before. And that 55 cents might increase my borrowing capacity, it might give me more choices around my lifestyle, and that ultimately creates a positive flywheel to then earn more income. So if you bring all of these lessons together, you can start formulating your own investing plan. This is more around mindset and shifting that and pivoting your way of thinking rather than practical steps like I share in all of my other videos on this channel. So if you're liking the vibe that I've got here and you're new to the channel, then definitely go and subscribe to it and go and check out the other videos where I do share some practical insights as to what you could do today to then get filthy rich in Australia. I hope you guys have enjoyed this video. If you have, smash that like button and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Thanks guys.